He got a natural great onion. There was no realistic way to beat a great onion. It was something that happened to you once or twice in a lifetime. She folded. The old bitch folded. She abandoned one blasted dollar, and she folded. Magrat peered through the window again. "What's happening?" said Nanny.
"They all look very angry."
Nanny took off her hat and removed her pipe. She lit it and tossed the match overboard.
"Oh, she'll be humming, you mark my words. She's got a very annoying hum, has Esme."
Nanny looked satisfied.
"Has she started cleaning out her ear yet?"
"Don't think so."
"No one cleans out her ear like Esme."
She was cleaning out her ear. It was done in a very ladylike way, and the daft old baggage probably wasn't even aware she was doing it. She just kept inserting her little finger in her ear and swivelling it around. It made a noise like a small pool cue being chalked. It was displacement activity, that's what it was. They all cracked in the end. She folded again, and it had taken him bloody 5 bloody minutes to put together a bloody double onion.
"I remember," said Nanny Ogg, "when she came over our house for the party when King Verence got crowned, and we played Chase My Neighbour Up the Passage with the kiddies for halfpennies. She accused Jason's youngest of cheating and sulked for a week afterwards."
"Was he cheating?"
"I expect so," said Nanny proudly. "The trouble with Esme is that she don't know how to lose. She's never had much practice."
"Lobsang Dibbler says sometimes you have to lose in order to win," said Magrat.
"Sounds daft to me," said Nanny. "That's Yen Buddhism, is it?"
"No, they're the ones who say you have to have lots of money to win," said Magrat.
"The Yen Buddhists are the richest religious sect in the universe. They hold that the accumulation of money is a great evil and burden to the soul. They therefore, regardless of personal hazard, see it as their unpleasant duty to acquire as much as possible in order to reduce the risk to innocent people.
In the path of the scorpion, the way to win is to lose every fight except the last one. You use the enemy's strength against himself."
"What, you get him to it himself, sort of thing?" said Nanny. "Sounds daft."
Magrat glowered.
"What do you know about it?" she said, with uncharacteristic sharpness.
"What?"
"Well, I'm fed up," said Magrat. "At least I'm making an effort to learn things. I don't go around just bullying people and acting bad-tempered all the time."
Nanny took her pipe out of her mouth.
"I'm not bad-tempered," she said mildly.
"I wasn't talking about you."
"Oh, well, Esme's always been bad-tempered," said Nanny. "It comes natural to her.
And she hardly ever does real magic. What good is being a witch if you don't do magic? Why doesn't she use it to help people?"
Nanny peered at her through the pipe smoke.
"'Cause she knows how good she'd be at it, I suppose," she said. "Anyway, I've known her a long time, known the whole family. All the weatherwaxes is good at magic, even the men. They've got this magical streak in 'em. Kind of a curse. Anyway, she thinks you can't help people with magic, not properly."
"It's true, too."
"Then what good..."
Nanny prodded at the pipe with a match.
End of CD 3.